All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Unleash, the most legit Celtics podcast in the game, episode number 109 today. I'm your host, Ev, and we do have a lot to talk about. We have a lot to get into, both on and off the court type of talk to get to today. But before we do any of that, I'm going to ask you guys, if you are watching on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button. Turn on those post notifications so you get notified every time we drop an episode. And like this video. And then you can let me know in the comments down below if you agree or disagree with anything that we say here today. If you're listening on Spotify or listening on Apple Podcast, make sure you are following or subscribed there as well. And I want to let you guys know that this episode is brought to you by the Guy Boston Sports Store. Head over to guybostonsports.com/store and use promo code UNL. Just three letters, UNL. It'll take 20% off your order. No minimums, no restrictions. GuyBostonSports.com/store, 20% off with promo code UNL. All right, so first things first, and it sucks that we have to get into this, and it sucks that, you know, I could say something here that would make someone mad or something like that, but it's the nature of the game. I'm always fully transparent, covering this team, talking about this team from a non-bullshit approach, to be honest. And the biggest storyline right now in the Celtics universe is this Kyrie Irving pretty much saying that, you know, Boston is racist and so much, and starting the fire on social media. So I want to make one thing clear, because the one thing that I'll say, and I don't think this is the right approach, I'm hearing a lot of other podcast hosts or a lot of beat writers and all that being like, I'm white, this is not my topic to talk on, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's plenty of, you know, just prominent black individuals in sports media that can talk on this. That makes a whole lot of sense, but I also don't think that that's something that solves the problem. Like me just saying like, hey, I'm white, you know what? You guys talk about it. That's bullshit to me as well. So I am going to address it. I am going to give sort of my take on it and acknowledge it, because acting like it didn't happen, I feel like is just as, you know, doing my disservice than, you know, saying something wrong or whatever. So here goes nothing. But so I've Kyrie Irving, if you live under a rock and haven't heard, he was asked about his return to Boston, and he pretty much said, like, you know, I hope the fans can refrain from being racist, even if it is their nature. And then someone followed up with him, and then he said something, and guys, keep in mind, I'm paraphrasing here. He said something along the lines of, well, the whole world knows it about Boston. I'm in no position to say that that never happened to Kyrie Irving. I can't confirm whether it did or didn't happen. So I'm going to just give Kyrie, as much as it kills me to give Kyrie Irving the benefit of the doubt, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, you know what? He's probably heard it a time or two. Forget, you know, him saying in 2019 that he's never experienced racism for the Celtics. Like, yeah, that's a red flag, but it's not my place to say he never experienced that. Like, I can't BS you guys and be like, hey, I'm just a white guy walking down the street. There's clearly no racism in Boston. No, because maybe it's not being targeted towards me, so I haven't experienced it. But again, if we give him the benefit of the doubt, I want to address something, because this seemingly has now interfered and caught the Twitter sphere in terms of, okay, now all of a sudden, you know, because the Celtics hate Kyrie Irving and because all Celtics fans hate Kyrie Irving, it's a racial thing. That's the line that's now been crossed that really shouldn't have been crossed, because the hate for Kyrie Irving and his race really have no correlation. No correlation. So like I said, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he's experienced some sort of racism in Boston. Maybe it was just one or two comments or something. One's enough. So whatever. Give him the benefit of the doubt. It happened to Kyrie, and I wish I could apologize, you know, on behalf of Boston for that. Like that, there's no place for that. That sucks. Screw you if you're racist. But I got to address the, you know, the hate for Kyrie Irving, because the hate's still there, but it isn't because he's black. It isn't because of his beliefs. The hate for Kyrie Irving comes from the fact that everything he promised was undelivered. All of the stupid interviews that he had, all of the clips that he had, you know, saying, if you guys will have me, I'll re-sign here. Saying that, you know, I wear number 11, I want to be the reason no one else wears number 11 in Boston. Enes Kanter wore it next season. Those are the types of things that happened that led to this Kyrie Irving hate. And the fact that now the lines are kind of blurred on social media is terrible, because that's not solving any sort of racial issue or whatnot. You know, and what it comes down to is that this is where I could ruffle some feathers. I honestly believe it comes down to these 13-year-old kids behind fan accounts on social media. You know, their profile picture is some random NBA player with a graphic design. Like, these kids that are behind a screen, not worrying about or not experiencing anything and feeling like just because they can tweet something, they might get some likes. Because it's now cool and trending this week to say Boston's racist, all of a sudden you have 13-year-old kids on Twitter behind, you know, a Ja Morant fan account, for example, trying to tweet a banger out because it's a trendy topic to say Boston's racist, even though that kid probably has never left his parents' Beverly Hills house. You know, so those types of things are driving me nuts because all of a sudden, you're taking away one from the real message that maybe this is true with Kyrie Irving and maybe that's a problem with Boston. But someone just trying to tweet out to get clout or get likes, you're now taking away from that message. Two, there's real people that have probably, you know, not even just Boston, everywhere in the world, there's real people that are probably trying to tweet their story about racial experiences that they've had, and they're getting, you know, two likes on the tweet and getting no sort of attention and nothing's getting solved. But then you have these bigger fan accounts all of a sudden tweeting something and getting thousands of likes, and it's watering down the real claims. You know, like someone tweeting out a picture of the Celtics and photoshopping some stupid white hood on him and saying Celtics, but spelling it with three Ks at the end. Like, that isn't helping. That's you trying to make a joke, which makes you just as bad as anyone that's realistically being racist in real life. Like, that's not a funny joke. That's not helping the issue. You're watering down any of the true concerns that people have or have experienced. And it all comes down to these, like I'm telling you, go on Twitter. It's all of these fan accounts for other teams and other players, you know? Like, Playoff P23 is tweeting, like, oh, yeah, the Celtics are all racist. They have meetings in sheets as hats and blah, blah, blah. What good is that doing? You're trying to get likes. You don't care about the issues that Kyrie Irving's talking about. You don't care about, now Marcus Smart has sort of confirmed that it happens too. Yeah. It happens, but trying to blanket statement every Celtics fan as it just so you can be sort of, you know, oh, the cool guy that tweeted this out and got a bunch of likes, every Celtics fan's racist. Everyone knows that's not true, and everyone knows that isn't helping the issue. So, PSA to you dweeb 13-year-olds hiding behind fan accounts out there. If you don't have a claim to stake, then don't make the claim. Don't chime in. Unless you have experience or know someone, a loved one that has experienced this and have some real, real content to chime in with or a real solution to chime in with, if you don't have any of that, keep your damn mouth shut. Because blanket statementing every Bostonian as a racist is doing a lot more harm than it does help. You know, it's one. Takes away from the real claims people have. And two, all of a sudden, you know, if you want to go down that hypothetical, how are you going to catch a racist in Boston if you're saying every single one of them is racist? I don't know. Like I said, I'm probably saying stuff that'll ruffle some feathers, but if you listen to what I'm saying, it all goes back to the fact that this has been now social media blowing this out of proportion, because even if Kyrie Irving is what he is saying, and I've given him the benefit of the doubt that it's true what he's saying, like I'm sure most cities are, you know, black players and non-white players probably experience this in every city. And if he's going to say it about Boston, give him the benefit of the doubt that it's true, whether you agree with it or not. But then you have to bring into the fact that how did this get intertwined with every person that hates Kyrie Irving? Now all of a sudden you're wrapped up in that sort of world of, oh, well, you only hate him because you're racist. No, there is legitimately, no pun intended, there's legitimately black and white reasons why people hate Kyrie Irving. It's because he promised to stay here, he wanted his number in the rafters, was going to play with Gordon Hayward for years to come, was going to grow with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, all that stuff. That's why we hate that dude. It has nothing to do with him being black. It has nothing to do with me being white. It has nothing to do with any of our beliefs or, you know, disagreement beliefs. Like, no, Kyrie Irving was an absolute douchier. That's why Boston hates him, people. And you trying to claim it as, you know, a fan account on Twitter trying to claim that me, I hate Kyrie Irving because of race, I'll tell you for damn sure right now that's not true. And for damn certain, all of a sudden, you are targeting the wrong person because when you could be targeting someone that's actually racist. So you trying to blanket statement every Bostonian, every Celtics fan as a racist, you're doing a lot more harm than you are help. And that's all it is, guys. Honestly, if you need to have a further conversation with me about this, or, you know, maybe I'm missing something that you want to explain to me or get off my chest, you can go ahead and tweet at me or DM me at evguyboston. But you got to hear the frustration in my voice, because there's two parts of this. I want the issue solved, and I want to defend me, my family, every Celtics fan that isn't racist. We shouldn't be clumped into that group. This group probably exists. It's probably a lot smaller than this group. But when all of a sudden you say, hey, you're one and the same, you're getting further and further from the truth and further from a solution. So hopefully you guys agree with that. Hopefully you can understand where I'm coming from. Literally nothing in my mind has to do with race, especially hating Kyrie Irving. That just is silly to me. All right, now, but let's, if you're still with me here, let's turn our attention to the actual series, the playoff series that the Celtics are in right now. So I had, on the episode before, I pretty much gave my opinion that this game, this series was going to go five games, right? I don't even know if I feel like that anymore. Like, I honestly, honest to God, feel like this could be a sweeping. The Celtics just didn't come to play. And one sort of constant theme that has either been DM'd me or, you know, you guys have called in with voicemails or just that I've seen on Twitter overall is everyone saying, look at how the Nets play basketball. The Celtics do play like that. They play similar to that. They play ISO ball. They let their top guy get the ball and go score. It's his turn. I got to debunk this theory. People saying that, well, the Nets play ISO ball, so why can't the Celtics go and win playing ISO ball? You're missing maybe the most obvious thing in the world. Literally, maybe the most obvious thing in the world. The Nets, yes, they may even play more ISO ball than the Celtics. Maybe they do. But what they're doing, and let me just use an example, I guess. I'll give you a hypothetical situation here. Kyrie Irving plays ISO ball for, you know, 14, maybe we'll call it 16 seconds of the shot clock. He's dribbling, 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 probably crossing up eight guys. What happens the minute that ISO ball doesn't work or he gets doubled or something like that? All of a sudden, he looks up and he can pass to Kevin Durant, James Harden. Like, all of a sudden, he can pass to a guy that is also, one, an ISO ball scorer, and two, one of the top players in the league today. Like, they have three of the best ISO ball players in the league, if not the three best. So it's a lot different to say, hey, well, they're ISO ball focused. Why can't the Celtics be like that? It's because the minute ISO ball breaks down, the Celtics don't have the pleasure, you know, of saying, okay, well, let me pass to another top, you know, top 10 guy in the league. So when Jason Tatum's going ISO ball, it'd be great if he could just, you know, okay, the ISO ball's not working. I'm not getting a good look. Let me pull up here and pass to the right wing for James Harden or look at the left short corner for Kevin Durant. Like, that's such a different story. Such a different story. And then, not going to lie, throw in the fact that even if those other stars are injured or not playing, the fact that, you know, Kevin Durant can be ISO balling, and the minute he gets troubled or the ISO is clearly not working this possession, he can look up and throw the ball to Joe Harris, who the Celtics definitely don't have a true Joe Harris. Or hell, go even deeper on the bench for the Nets, he can throw the ball to a Landry Shamet, who can hit an open shot. Our Landry Shamet, whatever the hell the guy's name is, that's a Semi Ojeleye. You know what I mean? That's a Grant Williams. That's a guy that really can't be trusted to make the shot. So these ISO balls are just not one and the same. You know, the offensive scheme of the Nets may be ISO ball centric, and it may be a true ISO ball sort of offense. But the second that ISO ball breaks down, they can, one, pass it to another ISO ball player, or two, just pass it to a guy that's going to make a shot. Celtics don't have that, especially with Jaylen Brown out. Like, Jason Tatum's going ISO ball, and you can make the argument that he's going to hit Kemba Walker, but Kemba Walker, like, is just either injured or inconsistent on a nightly basis. So let's pick a consistent player for the Celtics this year. Jason Tatum's now going to kick it to Marcus Smart. Okay, let's draw the comparison. If you're Kyrie Irving dribbling, and he kicks it to Durant or Harden, do you think there's a little bit of a downgrade, Jason Tatum dribbling and kicking it to Marcus Smart? Huh? Kicking it to Marcus Smart or kicking it to Semi Ojeleye or Romeo Langford or Aaron Nesmith or Peyton Pritchard or any of these guys, there's clearly a drop-off, and the Nets have the safety net of, okay, well, ISO ball doesn't work this possession. Let's pass it to another guy that sure as hell is going to break down his defender and go score. So, again, it's just so simple to me, and the fact that I think it's probably the Celtics fans that do truly believe in this team still. Probably making the claim of, like, you know, well, no, we can still have a chance to win this. Like, and they're watching the games back and analyzing it. And everyone seems to be forgetting that this Nets team is just so, 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 so much better than the Celtics. And you can call it injuries with Jaylen Brown and whatnot, but this Nets team, like, you know, they only played like a handful of games with the three of their big three together. And I had said all along, like, no one has seen the real Nets team. This team right now looks like they can just cakewalk to the finals. We'll see if it happens, but either way, they look like a team that has a cakewalk to the finals. The Celtics are a team that don't even look like they're going to win a game in round one. Two very different teams this year. One's way better than the other one, so whether you want to shit on the Celtics or prop up the Nets, either way, there is a massive gap in talent between these two teams. So I just don't see the Celtics pulling the series out at all. It's probably a miracle if they do, like a legit miracle. I've said on previous episodes, like, I'm still going to watch every single game. I'm still going to hope that this team goes and wins the series. It ain't likely, but every single game I'm tuning in hoping that they do win. But I just wanted to address that sort of iso ball thing because I've seen it as a constant theme on social media. Next topic up, I want to get into, let's look past this series. This has been an amazing positive episode, hasn't it? Like, we're talking Kyrie and frustration and me being, you know, annoyed with what 13-year-olds on Twitter are doing. Then we're talking about how, the Celtics just can't even compete with the Nets. They don't have that offense. Now we're talking about the offseason, which should be the glimmer of hope, right? Well, I may be down on their offseason as well, because what it comes down to is this team needs to get better, right? Like, you can't run it back with this team. This team isn't deep enough. They don't have enough playmakers, yada, yada, yada. Whatever the problem is, the Celtics have it. What movable assets do you have on this team? Now ask yourself that question. Everyone has the fantasy land in their mind of, let's get so much better this offseason. Let's make some big moves. Let's make moves that matter, right? But what's going to do that? What are you willing to let go of that can truly change this team? Because going back to sort of the saying of, like, it takes money to make money, how about we switch out money with value? It takes value to get value in return. You know, you're not going to trade Romeo or Nesmith or Grant or Carson or any of those guys and get something valuable in return. That just isn't happening. You could package all those guys together and probably get nothing in return. So what do the Celtics have that they can actually move? What do they have, right? Well, here's a couple things. Getting rid of the coach and getting a new one, that sure as hell would shake things up. Marcus Smart. He seems like he could have value to other teams in the league. Is he something you're willing to part ways with? Or Robert Williams? Robert Williams could be a guy that, hey, you know, he hasn't been healthy, but he's shown out when he's played. Like, is that a guy? And again, all extensions, all contracts. I'm just going off of, forget money for a second, okay? I'm just going off of what you have versus what you're willing to get rid of and versus what you can get in return. So think of it from that point of view. Like, you don't have on this Celtics team the type of things that are going to bring in these life-changing players. Can they get lucky? Can they swindle some team into doing that? Sure. If a team's going to give you a really good player for Romeo Langford, then, you know, then I'm the idiot, and that GM's the idiot, and Danny Ainge is the genius. But if we're not willing to part ways with, you know, a Robert Williams or a Marcus Smart or something like that, then all of a sudden, what are you willing to give up? Because you're not going to get too much in return. And I honestly believe Tristan Thompson's another name that we could throw into that. I mean, he's definitely someone that could move, but are you going to get value for him? But I just didn't want to go without mentioning him. But I honestly believe that one of the following three things are going to happen. Brad Stevens won't be the coach. Marcus Smart will be on another team, or Robert Williams will be on another team. And Danny Ainge has already come out. Like, that's my honest offseason prediction. If they're going to do something that matters, I think that's going to be one of those three things is going to be a move. But Danny's already come out and said Brad Stevens isn't the issue. We're going to address issues this offseason. Brad's not an issue. Okay. Well, then that's saying, okay, now play the game that those three things that I said are the three. Now all of a sudden you're down to two of those things. And can Celtics fans swallow getting rid of Marcus Smart? Can you swallow the pill of getting rid of Robert Williams, who seems like he has all the potential in the world? This team, no one's just going to give you something for nothing. Like I said, it takes value to make value. And Celtics fans, start thinking of it like that, because, you know, you don't want to trade Jaylen Brown. I get it. But as you move further and further down the list, you're going to get something that matters less and less and less for next season. So something to think of. I'll say it like that. I'm not as high on this offseason, I guess, as we would say some people are. That's probably the best way I'll put it. You know, maybe you'll use your draft picks and whatnot, but I'd rather think about trading and trading for real assets. Like, Danny Ainge has never really shown that he's willing to part ways with draft picks. So the counter can't be, all right, then, well, you know, we're going to trade our picks. If you don't believe that we have any good players to trade, we'll trade our picks. Okay, well, then tell Danny Ainge that. Someone tell Danny Ainge that he's allowed to trade a draft pick. because these 14th overall picks, these 15th overall picks, he doesn't like to move for some reason. So let us pray. Let us pray that Danny Ainge realizes that you got to make some sort of a move. And honestly, out of the three things that I mentioned in Brad, Smart, and Robert Williams, I'm most willing to let go of Brad Stevens. Why? You might not get better personnel-wise on your team as players, but it at least lights a fire. It's a wiping the board. It's a clean slate. Now all of a sudden, you really took this team and went, and shook them up. Right? That can do a whole hell of a lot. And, you know, I'd hate to see Brad go too. I get it, but I've definitely soured on him this year. Like, I'm going to sleep fine at night if Brad Stevens gets fired or isn't the coach next year. And I think a lot of people would too. You know, flashback to a couple years ago when he was this untouchable coach. Now all of a sudden it's like, well, what's he doing that Joe Schmo off the street couldn't do? And that's kind of where my mindset is now. Like, I get it. A homeless guy off the street is not going to coach better than Brad Stevens. But anyone with any sort of a coaching resume, I think, could have done what they did with the Celtics this year. And I know you can make the claims of, oh, well, injuries. We've talked about it in other podcasts. It's okay to be, you know, to feel negative about this team. It's okay to be like, oh, well, it was the bullshit excuses and or the injuries. You know, that's our excuse. Whatever side you're on in terms of still loving this team that much or truly hating this team, try and get yourself to the middle and just think about what's best for the team. And that's the mindset I've had with Brad Stevens. As much as, like, I don't want to go find another coach, we would wake up, live to fight another day with another coach. It's not the end-all, be-all getting rid of Brad Stevens. And at the very least, it would shake things up. And that's all I got for you guys today in episode number 109. Hopefully, you guys understand my Kyrie Irving take. It's such a sensitive subject. But I just don't buy the bullshit take of, I'm white, so I shouldn't speak out about this, or I shouldn't give my two cents on this. You know, when you call everyone in Boston racist, and I live in Boston my entire life, all of a sudden you do include me in the conversation. And I think I was pretty fair to Kyrie. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I just don't like where social media has taken this thing, because social media cares about likes, the people on that. They care about impressions. They care about retweets. They don't care about solving the issue. And calling everyone and blanket statementing everyone in Boston as a racist, I do think you're doing way more harm than you're doing good. So if you are racist, honestly, come here. If you are racist, fuck you. There's no place for that in this world. So screw you if you're racist. But don't call me a racist just because you want to be cool and have fun on social media. That's what I got for you guys. If you did enjoy this episode, make sure to hit that subscribe button. Make sure to like the video. Turn on bell notifications so you get notified whenever we post a video. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, follow along or subscribe there. And we'll catch you guys in the next one.